Thanks for listening to VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear a report from Mario Ritter Jr. about the suspension of Thailand's prime minister. Brian Lin presents this week's technology report. And Kelly Jean Kelly tells us about the presidency of Lyndon Johnson. But first, a 17-year-old pilot has become the youngest person to fly alone around the world. Mac Rutherford, who holds British and Belgian citizenship, completed his trip Wednesday. He landed his small plane in Bulgaria's capital, Sofia. That is also where he started his trip 5 months ago. Rutherford, who turned 17 during his trip, broke the Guinness World Record for youngest male to fly around the world. That record had been held by Travis Ludlow of Britain. Ludlow was 18 when he made his flight around the world last year. Rutherford also became the youngest person to fly around the world in an ultralight plane. His sister, Zara, finished her own around-the-world flight in January at age 19. Until Wednesday, she held the ultralight record. Zara also set the record as the youngest woman to fly alone around the world. His trip, which began March 23rd, took Rutherford through 52 countries across 5 continents. To set a mark recognized by the Guinness World Records, he crossed the equator twice. Rutherford was born into a family of flyers. He earned his pilot's license in 2020. Becoming the youngest pilot in the world at the age of 15. His trip around the world started in Sofia on a plane owned by the internet company ICDSoft. The ultralight plane, called Shark, can travel at the speed of 300 kilometers per hour. Normally a 2-seater, the plane was changed for his trip by replacing the second seat with an extra fuel container. Rutherford first planned to make the trip in 3 months, but it lasted longer because of several barriers, including rainstorms, sandstorms, and extreme heat. Most of the delays were caused by waits to get permits and other documents required for keeping with the flight plan. The flight took him through Africa and the Gulf area to India, China, South Korea, and Japan. He crossed the Northern Pacific and landed after 10 straight hours in the air on a volcanic island near the Bering Strait. From there, he headed to Alaska and down the west coast of the United States to Mexico. Then he headed north again, along the U.S. East Coast to Canada, and across the Atlantic Ocean to Europe. On Wednesday, a huge crowd of people welcomed Rutherford and celebrated his achievements.
Thailand's Constitutional Court suspended Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha on Wednesday to decide whether he violated the country's term limit for office. Prayut ruled as head of a military council after he led the overthrow of the elected government in 2014. He became a civilian prime minister in 2019, following an election held under a constitution written with military supervision. It set an 8-year limit for the prime minister. The court said it will consider a request from the main opposition party seeking his ouster. The opposition argued that Prayut's time as head of a military government ruling the country should count towards his 8-year term under the Constitution. In a statement, the court said that Prayut has 15 days to answer the decision. The court said in a 5-4 ruling that his suspension would start on Wednesday. A government spokesman said Prayut respected the court's decision and had suspended active duty as prime minister, but he will remain in his other position as defense minister. The spokesman added that Deputy Prime Minister Prawit Wongsawan would take over as acting prime minister. He said the suspension would not affect the government's work. But those who want Prayut gone do not want Prawit in power either. No Prayut, no Prawit. No military coup government, a leading protest group said in a statement after the court decision Wednesday. The group known as Ratsadon, or the people, issued a new call for protests, but only a small number of people appeared. Prayut could return to his position when the court rules, but the court's decision threw Thai politics into more disorder. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
American researchers have developed an artificial intelligence, AI, method to identify Parkinson's disease. The system works by measuring a person's breathing patterns during sleep. A study describing the method says it can also measure the severity of disease and record its progression. The study recently appeared in the publication Nature Medicine. The researchers note that early signs of Parkinson's disease are not easy to discover. Many signs or symptoms only appear years after the disease sets in. Researchers have investigated other methods for identifying or detecting the disease before it has a chance to develop. These include examinations of brain fluid or brain images. But these methods are costly and require specialized medical centers. The research team says the new AI-based system is simple and can identify the disease early in its development. Parkinson's is a neurological disease that harms the brain. It often causes patients to lose the ability to control their movements. This can affect a patient's walking movements and cause body tremors. Many patients also suffer from cognition problems as well as mental health issues and sleep difficulties. The World Health Organization, WHO, reports Parkinson's disease is currently the fastest-growing neurological condition worldwide. Cases of the disease have doubled during the past 25 years. The WHO estimates that more than 8.5 million people worldwide have Parkinson's. Because of its effects on the body, dealing with the disease can put pressure on the healthcare system and individual caregivers. The AI method to identify Parkinson's was developed by researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and other educational and health organizations. The system records data about a person's nighttime breathing. This information is collected by devices that measure signals from a breathing sensor on the body or from radio signals in the room. The data is then processed through what the researchers call a neural network. A neural network is a computer system built to simulate or act like the human brain. The neural network used by the Parkinson's disease tool contains a series of connected algorithms, the researchers said in a statement. The algorithms examine the subject's breathing patterns in an effort to predict the presence of disease. Dina Katabi is a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. She helped lead the research. She said the act of breathing has always been connected to Parkinson's disease. A relationship between Parkinson's and breathing was noted as early as 1817 in the work of Dr. James Parkinson, Katabi said. She said this connection led the research team to consider the potential of detecting the disease from one's breathing without looking at movements. Past studies have shown that breathing patterns linked to Parkinson's can appear years before other symptoms. This means the AI system can be an early predictor of the disease, Katabi said. The algorithm was tested on 7,687 individuals, including 757 Parkinson's patients. The study included data from several American hospitals and other public information. The experiments showed that with just one night of sleep, the AI system was able to detect Parkinson's disease with up to 86% accuracy, the study found. With 12 nights of data, the rate went up to 95%. The researchers say the simplicity of the tool will enable many more people to be tested for the disease in their homes. They said this can especially help people in traditionally underserved communities, as well as individuals living in rural areas or with limited abilities to visit hospitals. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Lyndon Johnson. He was the vice president under John F. Kennedy. Many Americans recognize Johnson from a photograph of his swearing-in on November 22, 1963. Kennedy had just been shot during a visit to Dallas, Texas. Johnson and his wife also were visiting the city. After doctors announced that Kennedy had died, the Johnsons were taken to the presidential airplane. There, Johnson took the oath of office as president. Men wearing suits look on, while three women stand around him. His wife, Lady Bird Johnson, is at one side. Former First Lady Jackie Kennedy is at the other. She is still wearing clothing covered with her husband's blood. The judge who is administering the oath, Sarah Hughes, stands in front of Lyndon Johnson. She holds a prayer book on which Johnson places one hand and swears to follow the Constitution. The photograph showed the American people that the federal government could and would continue in an orderly way. But Johnson's position was difficult. Many people were shocked and in mourning for the assassinated president. Johnson promised to continue many of Kennedy's reforms. He went on to use the public sympathy for Kennedy to pass additional legislation, especially in the area of civil rights. In the next election, Johnson was elected president in his own right. But as the conflict in Vietnam increased and some Americans rejected Johnson's reforms, he found his position difficult again. Lyndon Baines Johnson was born in Texas, where his family had lived for generations. A town called Johnson was even named after his relatives. Lyndon was the oldest of five children. His mother was a teacher and writer, and his father was a farmer and political leader. In time, the Johnson family experienced financial difficulties. They had little money to give their children much of an education, but Lyndon was able to attend a teaching college. Johnson excelled as a teacher. He also learned from his students. Many were even poorer than he was. They also faced discrimination because they came from Mexican families. Johnson promised to help them. But he found he could do more to improve people's lives as a politician than as a teacher. He volunteered for some political campaigns, became an aide to a member of the United States Congress, and in time became a member of Congress himself. Along the way, he married a woman named Claudia Taylor, but everyone called her Lady Bird. They went on to have two daughters. Johnson served for 12 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. In 1948, he was narrowly elected to the Senate, becoming one of the two senators from the state of Texas. From there, Johnson rose quickly. He took on increasingly important jobs in the Senate. By 1954, he was the Senate Majority Leader, the Democratic Party's top spokesman in the Senate. The Senate website notes that the person with that job needs to be able to work well with others, especially members of other parties. Historians also note that Johnson worked very hard and was always prepared. A well-known biography of Johnson is called Master of the Senate. The book describes Johnson as extremely ambitious, sometimes cruel, and often willing to praise others to get what he wanted. At the same time, he could be very concerned about other people's well-being. In other words, the picture of Johnson is a complicated one. In 1960, he competed against John F. Kennedy for the Democratic presidential nomination. Johnson lost that race, but the party asked him to be their vice presidential candidate instead. Johnson agreed, not knowing that in a little more than 3 years, he would enter the White House as president. After being sworn in, Johnson used his political experience in the Senate to pass a number of reforms. They were aimed at carrying on, in his words, a war on poverty. The new laws created health care and education programs. They also used federal money to make food less costly for some people and to train workers for jobs. Johnson also continued the work Kennedy began by signing the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The act made segregation because of race, religion, or national origin illegal. The Civil Rights Act also made it illegal for employers to discriminate against someone because of race, religion, national origin, or gender. The reforms had their critics, then and today. But in the presidential election of 1964, Johnson won by the widest margin of popular votes in American history. Historian Kent Germany says that vote gave the Democrats a rare opening to pass a comprehensive liberal program. Johnson had a name for such a program. He called it the Great Society. He said, "The United States should aim not only to be a rich and powerful society, but also to end poverty and racial injustice." Johnson followed his earlier reforms with others. They sought to prevent crime, reduce pollution, support the arts, make roads safer, and protect American consumers against bad products. His administration also created an immigration policy that valued family members, skilled workers, and refugees. Johnson also signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965. It sought to lift the barriers that had long prevented African American men and women from exercising their right to vote. Later, Johnson removed legal discrimination in the process of buying and renting homes. Together, these actions have linked Johnson to the civil rights movement in the minds of many Americans. Yet, Johnson is also strongly linked to another part of U.S. history, often known simply as Vietnam. Earlier presidents had ordered U.S. military action in the conflict between North and South Vietnam. Since 1950, Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy had slowly increased the American intervention. Their goal was to prevent the spread of communism in Southeast Asia. President Johnson continued Kennedy's policies. He also received the support of Congress to do whatever was necessary to protect U.S. forces and prevent further aggression by North Vietnam's communist government. Yet, when he was a presidential candidate in 1964, Johnson promised not to increase U.S. involvement and send young Americans to fight in Vietnam. The opposite happened. Over the next 4 years, Johnson called on hundreds of thousands of additional U.S. troops to fight on the ground and in the air. The North Vietnamese fought back, both on the battlefield and politically. In time, the American public withdrew their support of the struggle and their support for the president. By early 1968, Johnson had become deeply unpopular with voters. His party lost seats in Congress, and Johnson lost his ability to persuade lawmakers to support the measures he proposed. In addition, the U.S. economy was showing signs of weakness, partly because of the costs of the conflict in Vietnam and government spending at home. As the presidential nominating process began in early 1968, Johnson was permitted to seek another four-year term, but he announced that he would not seek or accept his party's nomination. Shortly after, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed. Angered by his murder, people in more than 100 cities rioted. Then, in June, John Kennedy's brother, Robert Kennedy, was also assassinated. Kennedy had been competing for the Democrats' nomination for president. His death and Johnson's withdrawal added to the divisions in the Democratic Party. Several groups gathered to protest at the party's nominating convention in Chicago. The meeting ended in violent clashes between protesters and police. By the time Johnson left office in January 1969, his party had lost control of the White House, and many Americans believed the country was in disarray. After he left the presidency, Johnson returned to his home in Texas. He wrote his memories about his White House years and made preparations for his presidential library. But he did not live much longer. He died in 1973, hours before the U.S. involvement in Vietnam officially came to a close. Johnson was a complex person, and his image in the mind of many Americans is just as complicated. His policies opened new paths for many people, but also led to years of death and destruction in Vietnam. As a president, he acted powerfully and often independently, and succeeded in passing an unusually large number of reforms. But he also failed to persuade many Americans to accept some of those measures. Supporters of the free market especially strongly rejected the government controls Johnson enacted. Even some in his Democratic Party, which Johnson had controlled for years, lost faith in him. In 1964, anti-war activists changed his campaign slogan, "All the Way with LBJ." Instead, they said, "Part of the Way with LBJ." And by 1968, they were saying, "Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids did you kill today?" I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
and I'm Dan Novak.